Are we exposed? Security teams ask this every day. Vulnerabilities across network, cloud, AI, and OT silos hide the truth, and attackers are watching. Tenable unifies your tools, teams, and data so you can spot and close risks fast. Tenable's AI-powered exposure management gives teams one view of risk, helping them focus, take action, and close critical exposures fast. Visit Tenable.com. Tenable. Your exposure ends here.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Real takes over fake debates, authentic truth. Can't underestimate SB and Sean breaking through the noise. Serving real talk, the genuine choice.
No pretense, no hidden schemes. Just sports, passion, fueling dreams. From the field to the court, every play that's made. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up, hear the honest sound. Unfiltered sports all year round. Discussions pure, no masquerade. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up. Over fake debates. Real takes over fake debates.
And we are live, SB Talk Sports, Sean Webb, Real Takes Over Fake Debates. It is Monday, Sean. I would say how you doing, Sean, but I kind of know. So, but the people don't know how you doing, Sean.
Oh, I'm hanging in there, SB, fighting off a flu came on all of a sudden yesterday, so. Fighting that off, and but yeah, I'm good, man. Gonna rock, push through this thing today, man. But appreciate you.
No problem. I need everybody and all our people who support us. Type "get well soon," Sean, in the chat, and also the people who listen to audio, comment under there. Tell Sean get well soon. Sean is a trooper. He's still here. We could have took the show off today, but my boy said, "Nah, we gonna do it. We gonna troop through it. And we gonna get it done for you." But we gonna hurry up. Get into the sport talks because Sean need to go get some tea, some noodles, and some rest. Let's go ahead and get into the work, Sean. We got to start off. Obviously, the NBA season is pretty much here. We're in the preseason. NBA season is coming up soon next. But we did get our first glimpse of LeBron James and Bronny James, first father-son duo ever in NBA history to play in the same game during the Lakers preseason game versus the Suns. What was your like reaction to it? Because it kind of hit different for me. Because this, my, I know you got to see the Ken Griffey Jr. Senior thing. I didn't really get to like understand and experience it when it happened. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like young. I think when did that happen? What year was that? With the Ken Griffey?
That was 1989, 1990. Yeah, around there.
Yeah. So I was still watching Power Rangers and Barney around that time. So that, but it didn't hit for me, but. This feels like crazy historic for me. Like, as just a fan of the game, it's like crazy to see. I'm not gonna lie, this wow. And if you want to say, I don't care about, you know how me and you is about to go debate, especially LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I think they ruined basketball talk, but this definitely is a sign of greatness, just in general for me. But what is your reaction like actually finally get to see it on the floor?
So I didn't watch the game, SB. I saw it, knew it was going to happen tonight or last night when it happened. Mm-hmm. You know, again, it's – well, first of all, I mean, shout out to, you know, LeBron, obviously, for his longevity. Mm-hmm. But also being, you know, young enough to have a son who's at the age limit to make it in the NBA and was drafted in the NBA. On the team that you play for. So, you know, again, it's history. I don't know if we'll ever see this again necessarily. But, You know, I think it would, you know, certainly has to be, you know, marked as a historical moment. And again, I think it'll be, you know, really truly marked once the regular season starts, because, you know, it's preseason. Yep. It doesn't count necessarily in terms of the record books, but the fact that you get to see this, I think, is, you know, a pretty cool thing. And yeah. And again, you know, you're a father and I'm a father, and there are a lot of fathers out here, you know, to be able to work with your children, you know, is really cool. And as we talked about, yeah, even, you know, with, you know, the Lakers drafting Bronny, that this was a big deal. Yes. And the only comparison I could make was, you know, Will Smith working with his son Jaden, mm-hmm, in Pursuit of Happiness.
That was a good movie, by the way. Yeah. Pursuit of Happiness was a good movie.
Now the catch is they worked together again, and the movie wasn't that good. You know, so this could be Pursuit of Happiness, or this could be After Earth. We don't know.
It could be either one. It could definitely go either way. And I wanted, like, for people who are fans of the game, and the only thing I feel bad about, like, Bronny, is because of, like I was just mentioned before, because of that GOAT debate thing, it's so annoying that you can't just sit and enjoy this. Because remember the first thing that came about, the nepotism, like, so what? Like, America was built off nepotism. It's a part of life. If you're in a position, if anyone as a parent, both of you, like I said, being you both are parents, if I'm in a position to help my child do something, I'm going to help my child do it. That's a part of being a parent. Then two, I obviously Bronny is not at the talent level of like when LeBron James came in, but it's like you got to give the kid time to really develop. You see certain promises of him like being a defensive guy, and offensively, I don't care who you are. And to be like that at the NBA level, you have to be like a Kevin Durant type of score where you could just instantly get buckets, because that's the only thing like the casual fan understand. Anything outside of scoring points, the casual fan don't understand the game of basketball. I see guys like Patrick Beverley, who's the same size as Bronny. Patrick Beverley led the nation in scoring in high school, averaged 35, went to the NBA, straight defensive guy, couldn't score at all. So it's a different level to these things. So I think like I'm just going to sit and enjoy and watch this as a fan of the game. I'm not going to compare. I'm not going to do none of that at all. I'm just going to actually sit and enjoy this, because this is, as a fan of the game, life-changing type stuff to see. Now, Sean, we got an NFL game tonight, and obviously you guys seeing that this is a pre-record. We record earlier. You already know on football games, we always record the show earlier. If y'all want us to start doing watch-alongs, let me and Sean know. You know me and Sean, we'll make it happen for y'all. So if y'all want to watch along, maybe you have to get on like Playback TV, but you can actually like have the game on stream while you're doing it and everything. So Sean, so if y'all want us to do that, let us know. Comment, drop a review. Let us know what you want us to do, what you want us to add to the show. But tonight we do got the Chiefs versus your Saints tonight. And obviously we talked about our picks of the week, that this game don't matter. You'll find out later in the show who won this week. So this game doesn't matter at all. But what is your expectations for tonight's game, or for your Saints at least, Sean?
Well, I think, you know, just not even speaking as a Saints fan, just this is going to be, I think, a pretty competitive game. Mm-hmm. You have two defenses that really do come to play really well. Obviously, Kansas City has some injuries on the offensive side of the ball, particularly in their wide receiver room. But the one thing about Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes is they're not going to make any excuses. Nope. I think you're going to see them really lean heavily on the run game, try to get some play action going. Yep. You know, they use, you know, Kareem Hunt is back, so we'll probably get to see a little more of him tonight as well.
Yes.
And then from the Saints side, you know, the Saints really need to get back on track after, you know, two really tough games these last couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly, you know, when you think about, and again, just thinking about it from the perspective of, excuse me, the Saints, and you look at the division, you know, Atlanta and Tampa Bay are up in the division right now. You really want to try to keep pace with them. So I'm not saying it's a must win for the Saints, but it's definitely one of those games. If you can get, you know, a wounded Kansas City Chiefs team, a win against a wounded Kansas City Chiefs team, you got to do it. But
bro, it's crazy that they wounded and they still undefeated right now, bro. It's like, yeah, bro,
Yeah, and I think that's really, but that's the Andy Reid model. You know, they don't have a certain specific way they're trying to play. Every game is a different week. It's a different game plan. Mm-hmm. And they're going to find a way, try to put together a game plan that leads with them winning. And, you know, any team that plays them has to be prepared for that. So, well, my expectation is going to be a tough game, tight game. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
For me, my expectation is definitely going to be a tough game. And one, Travis Kelce, he needs to figure it out at some point, because for them to win as much as they have been winning so far, being undefeated, with him not looking like the same person, like he looked like he won one foot out the league. I'm not going to lie. I guarantee you, if they, especially if they win again, hopefully they don't, but if they do, whatever. It's definitely Travis Kelce last year. I don't see it in him no more, man. He doesn't look the same. But Travis Kelce needs to be a big part, because no Pacheco with the running game. You know, you still got the young receiver core, but Rice is gone too. At some point, dog, you gotta play. You gotta show up, because Patrick Mahomes is gonna need you at some point. And that defense only gonna do so much they can, because the Saints defense is not a slouch either. Alvin Kamara is gonna have to play big this game too. But I can see the Chiefs, because it's at Kansas City. I see the Chiefs still remaining undefeated. I think I picked the Chiefs this week too when we did our picks. I still see the Chiefs remaining undefeated in this game. But it will be tougher than a lot of people think. And Sean, I want to acknowledge something about the NFL, and which what I do love about the NFL, because I know some fans get caught up into, like, they just want it to be like the same story where it'd be like, oh yeah, this is the best team, so they should dominate. This NFL season so far has been upside down. If I told you by what week we going to, what, week six?
We're finishing week five tonight.
The end of week five tonight. That. The Commanders will be leading their division. The 49ers is third in their division and don't have a winning record. The Vikings are undefeated. Like, then you go to the other side. The Chiefs got majority of their players injured. They undefeated. Aaron Rodgers got a losing record coming back. The Bengals look awful. The Browns look awful. You would call me crazy. Like, this season is, like, completely upside down. I know it's still early, but, Sean, I cannot deny, this is like something you can't write, like, at all. It's like everything is like upside down. There's nothing going as planned.
No, I mean, it has been a very unpredictable regular season so far. I think some of it, you know, when you talk about teams that everybody had high expectations for coming in the season, those teams had high expectations as well. But also when you just look at the attrition of the team like San Francisco, for example, that's played deep into the playoffs pretty much every year for the last 4 years, that attrition seems to be catching up, not just in terms of injury, but just in terms of loss of talent. Yeah. You know, particularly on the defense side of the ball, when you look at some of the guys they've had to let go, or some of the guys who've left, you know, via free agency, it's hard to maintain that level of excellence. And you look at it, I mean, you think about every previous Super Bowl loser. Doesn't get back to the Super Bowl. The last time it happened was like Buffalo in the early 90s. So it's just not easy when you lose the Super Bowl in particular to get back the next year. And you know, but also, I mean, again, you just look at some of these teams again that had unexpected injuries and guys out. It puts, I think, in greater perspective the need to build a strong roster top to bottom. And you know, and if you can't do that, and also need to have great coaching. You know, we talked about Brian Flores in Minnesota and what he's done with that defense.
Outstanding.
This year. You know, and, you know, I don't know if you watched the game yesterday, SB, but Sam Darnold didn't have a great game yesterday. He didn't ball. He made a couple of key throws, but it was that defense really putting them in position to win the game and picking off Aaron Rodgers three times, which, again, three picks in a game, that's not the Aaron Rodgers that we know. And so, you know, so I think it's just telling when you just look at the landscape of the league, roster depth, great coaching, and getting week to week, can you put together a game plan to help your team win?
And Sean, it's when I was looking up like the award race, I really truly realized, and I want the NFL to do this too. change the MVP to the quarterback of the year award. Just change it, because Sam Darnold was like number three. I'm like, I get it, they play, but I'm like, we know the truth. Sam Darnold, comeback player of the year, might have that locked up. Comeback player, that he might have that locked. But for him to get MVP, not know, like everybody, it's clear as day that the Vikings defense is what's winning them games. And Sam Darnold's just doing his job, no disrespect. He's doing his job, making the pass we need to make the passes. But that defense is so good, like you just said, last game he just played, he didn't have a good game, and they won. The Vikings defense is just the story of why that team is so good. But speaking of defense, also comment and let us know who y'all got winning tonight, Chiefs and Saints. So, obviously, Sean, you see teams, we talk about depth and different players and different talent. It's going to get to that point where we got to talk about this draft coming up. Yeah. I want to talk about a quarterback situation, because a situation happened with him and the Raiders owner. But I want to talk about his teammate first. Obviously, there's been a lot of things around the league about Travis Hunter. Could he play corner? Will he play wide receiver? He can't play both. I want to really look into what is the best. Also, Shador said he's the highest. Travis Hunter is the Heisman right now, which I'm not mad at that. It's either him or the Jeffrey kid from Boise State, because, man, he's putting up video game numbers at running back.
Yeah, don't shout out to Cam Ward either.
Cam Ward, too. Cam Ward is nice. What would be the best fit for Travis Hunter to actually play both sides of the ball? Where he can go?
So my caveat, SB, is it's not that I don't think he can play both sides of the ball. I don't think he can play both sides of the ball full time.
Agreed.
And what I mean is, it's easier, I think, for him to come in and say, I'm a corner and play corner, but you get him 10, 12 snaps a game at receiver.
Yep.
Right.
I'm cool with that.
Because, again, and the example I use is, and again, he's probably not the greatest example, because he's not a full-time starter, but he's someone that plays multiple positions, is Taysom Hill.
Taysom Hill.
He can line up at quarterback. He can line up at running back, fullback,
tight end.
He'd
be everywhere.
He can line up on the punt, on special teams. He has to bounce around to multiple meetings during the week to do that. And again, this is someone who is not a full-time starter at any position. If you come in and Travis Hunter comes in as a full-time starter, and again, you draft Travis Hunter in the top five, I'm just saying this to be honest. Honestly, you draft him in the first round, he's a full-time starter wherever you draft him. I'm saying, hey, Travis, we want you to be a corner, but we will get you some snaps at receiver every game.
I think he'd be happy with that too.
Yeah, it's not going to be you're going to play, because the problem is, and the issue is if you're a defense, and again, I think Travis Hunter has shown, not only is he a corner, he's a number one corner in the NFL, just based purely on his ball skills. If you're a team and you're building your defensive scheme around this guy being able to take this particular matchup or this side of the field, and he unfortunately goes out with an injury, you know, because he's on the other side of the ball or what, you know, you have to change your whole scheme. So that would be my thing, is, again, having a coach who's very open and coaching staff is very open to saying, yes, we want to get you some snaps at receiver, but we need you at corner full time. And we will get you some snaps at receiver. Where that is, to be honest, I think I don't know based on right now if they'll be in the position to draft him, but it would be a place like Washington.
I see Washington getting him, but I don't know Washington doing good. Denver might get him. He wanna go to Denver because Travis Hunter, a simple kid. He don't do too much. That man, he be at home with his I believe they married now, or not, his girlfriend, in a onesie playing the game, bro. And probably go fishing. He's simple. So he don't want to do, so you gotta worry about no troublemaker coming from Travis. Travis is gonna be chilling. He wants to go to Denver. I don't want places I know he don't need to go. He better not. New York is a no-no. Panthers is a no-no, but that was going to be a tentative position. I think, honestly, I don't – because of how this guy gets down, they won't be in a position to draft him. But for me, I think the best NFL fits for him, obviously Denver, because they could get him. But, bro, if he could find a way, Sean, to go to the Pittsburgh Steelers with Mike Tomlin, holy, that right there will lock that defense in and this would lock it in incredibly. If he could find a way to give Pittsburgh good coaching, great defense, he gonna be the number one corner. I know they got Porter and all the other guys, but Travis Hunter gonna come in, learn how to be the number one corner, and he gonna get snaps on the offensive side of the ball. And Mike Tomlin gonna use him correctly. But to come in a situation where he will fit in perfectly, I definitely see Pittsburgh, but I don't see Pittsburgh being in a position to get him. So I could probably say the best fit for maybe Broncos.
I think where he wants to be and where any player should want to be, and I think we're going to, and I know we got another story we got to talk about here in a moment, but where he should want to be is where there's organizational stability.
Yes.
Right. So you mentioned Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is the model for organizational stability. You know Mike Tomlin's going to be there as long as Mike Tomlin wants to be there. You know the Rooneys are going to own the team as long as there's a team to own. You know their front office is going to be very, very solid. Very, very. So I think you make a good point with Pittsburgh. I think, again, it's got to be somewhere where there's great organizational stability and it's not a lot of turnover because, again, new coaching staff comes in and that new coaching staff may say, hey, listen, we don't want you to do that. So it needs to be somewhere where the moment he's walking in, he generally knows this is who's going to be here. This is who I'm going to play for.
Yep.
And so I think you make a great point with Pittsburgh. I put Baltimore in that conversation. Again, I don't think Baltimore
ain't going to be they're gonna lose every game.
And also, I mean, again, and I don't ever sleep on teams liking a player so much that they do say, hey, we got a really well-built team here. We can afford to trade future assets move up to get one particular guy. I don't see them I don't see too many teams that for Travis Hunter wouldn't at least give it consideration given how unique his skill set is and how much he can help your team from day one. And also, I know he doesn't do it at Colorado, but I would also tell him, we're going to find ways to get you some touches on special teams as well. Mm-hmm. Even if we're not getting you lined up at receiver, 20 times a game, we get you, 10, 12.
You got to put the ball in his hand, yeah.
You want to find ways, unique ways to put the ball in his hands, and special teams is another way to do that, particularly with the new kickoff rules.
We're going to talk about this other team later, about should they draft a player at this position, but I just thought about it. This team, how they look so far this season, they might be in a race, the Dolphins. So it's like, could the Dolphins go? I know we're going to talk about the Dolphins in a second, but I mean, the Dolphins, best where I could get them too, because they losing. But speaking of a teammate, Shador, which I just looked up on my draft, and they don't got Shador Sanders in the top 10. It's crazy. But I just looked up like two of them didn't have him in the top 10, which is crazy to me. He's going to be one of the quarterbacks. Take him, Cam Ward. They had Milrow. I'm sorry, no offense. I like Milrow. I'm a Bama guy. I love Bama. But Milrow shouldn't be higher than Cam Ward and Shador Sanders on the quarterback list. I'm sorry. But Milrow, talented athlete, though. But Raiders owner made a five-word admission to Colorado's Shador Sanders. He told him, I watch all your games. It has already been hinted, even Shador and them brought it up when they was talking about what's the best place for you to go, him and his brother Shiloh, get well soon, Shiloh, where he was like, oh, maybe you should go to Dallas. And Shador was like, no, they got that. I'm not going to Dallas. The Raiders kind of make more sense. And the Raiders owner just added fuel to the fire by saying he watched all his game and hopefully you could play here and hope you can make this place your home. So what you thinking about Shador possibly going to the Raiders?
Again, it's got to be organizationally stable there, right? Mm-hmm. I think Mark Davis wants to build something stable in Las Vegas with the Raiders, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think the book is still out on Antonio Pierce. I'm not ready to say Antonio Pierce is not an NFL head coach. Yeah, right. I think it's too soon to tell. He needs time to develop and grow. Tom Telesco, who you know very well, is the GM, mm-hmm. former GM mm-hmm. of the Chargers. He understands generally how to build a pretty talented roster. So, you know, should Shador want to go to the Raiders? I think it's all going to depend on that organizational stability mm-hmm. and their willingness to build a scheme around what he does well, yes, and not sir. Saying, hey, we're going to put you in this scheme. You know, and if they are willing to do that, then yeah, I think the Raiders make a lot of sense mm-hmm. for him. But it's got to be you when you bring in a player, and we've talked about this with Bryce Young, who got in the game briefly yesterday, you know, mm-hmm. when Carolina was getting blown out. The biggest issue with Bryce Young was he had no stability.
Yep.
He had no stability. Mm-hmm. All the different coaches, the different play callers, like it is. So when you as an organization make a commitment that this quarterback is your guy, mm-hmm. and it's the guy you go with, you got to do everything in your power to build it around them schematically and and from a stability standpoint. And if they don't, then I think they're asking for mm-hmm. a situation that Carolina's in right now, which is, you know, can we get Bryce Young back on the field? Will Bryce Young get back on the field? And if he does, will it be here in Carolina? So mm-hmm. I think that's really what it comes down to. It's one guy is not going to come in and save your organization.
No, never.
It doesn't work like that. It's, you know, it's a guy can be a big part of a turnaround.
Like somebody we're going to talk about later, Jaden Daniels. He'd be right. Definitely part of the turnaround. But it's a lot more than just Jaden Daniels playing good while he's right. like they good coaching is one of them too.
Right. And again, what do they do? They brought in an offensive coordinator who is running a scheme that Jaden Daniels has run before.
Mm-hmm. Light them up.
Right. And they're not asking him to go out and throw the ball 45, 50 times a game. You know, mm-hmm. so we're seeing it. So it's a symbiosis, right? And I don't, you know, want to get too deep, but what does this guy do well? What did he do well that said, hey, this is why we should bring them in? And can we do different things? Can we do different things to help them grow and become the player we believe they can become? Because we have said we have committed to doing it around their skill set. And if you don't do that, you're asking for trouble.
Yep. You're asking for trouble. And it will be bad. And you will be asking for a lot of trouble. And then you know who's gonna get to blame? The quarterback. Cause like same thing going on. We know the truth why Bryce Young's situation ain't working. Very unstable situation in the Carolina. But you know who else? We know what the main story is? That Young is a bust. And that's not necessarily fair to him. Because it'd be different if he was in a stable situation, good coach, a good offensive scheme, and he just was out there playing bad, I would hear you. But that's not the case, and people don't want to tell the full story. With Shador to the Raiders, though, Sean, I do have to, like, agree that he do need some stability. And I'm looking at these, like, mock drafts of other teams that could be at the top of the draft. I just seem like the Raiders kind of will fit him more. But, like you said, is the Raiders more stable than, like, the Patriots? Or the Browns, or obviously not the Panthers, because you don't want to go to the Panthers, or the Titans, or the Dolphins, which we're going to talk about the Dolphins in a second, or the Jets. Should the Jets start getting Aaron Rodgers back up? Aaron Rodgers is old. No, nobody want to go to the Giants, so we could already say the Giants not stable. And the 49ers and the Colts look like they got their quarterback already. But NFL exec, remember I just told you I looked at a mock draft, but NFL execs, scouts tab, Shador is the top quarterback in the 25 draft, which is crazy because I've seen two of them on a different one. They didn't have him in the top 10, which is weird. But I think they only didn't have him in the top out of the top 10 because the Raiders was out, and everyone I've seen, they did have him going to the Raiders. Like, they're trying to push him to the Raiders because that's, don't get me wrong, Shador Sanders in a Raiders jersey, that's money. You know, it's still a business at the end of the day. But right. do you agree that Shador might be the best quarterback in the draft?
I think he's definitely in the conversation. I don't know if there's an actual best quarterback in this draft, but I think it's very telling just how talented this quarterback draft class is. When you look at Shador, when you look at Carson Beck, when you look at Cam Ward, when you look at, you know, Quinn Ewers, when you look at someone like Jalen Milroe, who's pushing themselves up the draft boards, you know, as well. This is a very talented quarterback. I mean, I think we could see six guys going the first round in this yep. quarterback class. And again, a little like probably the one that probably is most reminiscent is 99. And the 99 draft, it was Tim Couch was first, Donovan McNabb, Akili Smith. They went 1, 2, 3. We know Donovan McNabb is the class of that group.
Yes.
But you also had Dante Culpepper go in that draft class. You know, so it's one of those where it's like the talent is there, but where are they going?
Mm-hmm.
Dante Culpepper and Donovan McNabb went to where they were. They got to sit. They got to wait. You know, some of those guys didn't necessarily get to do that. So are you going to, even with the talent these quarterbacks have in this draft, SB, can they go somewhere where they get a chance to sit, or do they have to play from day one?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that matters. I think if you go to the Raiders, it's highly likely you're playing from day one, unless they go out and bring in a veteran guy like a Sam Darnold or like a Jameis or, you know, or Carson, somebody like that, a veteran guy to help kind of bridge you to the young guy. But, you know, I think that's what matters most than anything is not who's the top quarterback, but where are they going and what's the situation for them? Because, again, that matters as much as their talent.
No, 100% agree, because we didn't. If you make it to the NFL level, you're very and highly talented. But like you said, you can ruin a good talented player in a bad situation at any point in time. With Shador, actually, what I'm seeing too, even though, because now we look at, I didn't look at the positional ranking when I'm looking at like why he's still at 10. I just look at two or three of them, they all got him ranked as the best quarterback in the draft, but everyone just got him going to the Raiders. But and I'm looking at it like situations like that, because you got the Browns who possibly might have the fourth pick. I'm just saying two teams that need a quarterback. Browns, Patriots, and not the Panthers. Nobody wants to go to the Panthers.
Well, Patriots don't need a quarterback.
Oh, yeah, they don't, because they got who's the guy they drafted again? What's his name? He's sitting on
Drake May.
So take the Patriots out. So we could go Browns, Titans, Dolphins, and Jets. Even though you see, obviously they got Milroe going to the Browns at 4. But if you got a guy who's ranked as the best quarterback in the position, don't you just take him? Because I take him over. Imagine, I like Milroe, but the two best quarterbacks in college right now for me is Shador and Cam Ward. I'm sorry. Them two guys is crazy. Now, Milroe, crazy athlete. I can see a little bit of the guy that's with the Colts, Richardson. I see a lot of Richardson in him. But I want to see, like, the regular plays. And I would love for Milroe to go to a team where he can actually, like, sit behind. He don't need to start day one. He needs to sit behind somebody, learn a little bit, and then because the talent is there, athletically gifted than a mug. Man, run like Derrick Henry. Got an arm got an arm of a cannon. So that kid is nice. But I'm just saying though, like, even if the Browns there, don't you just take the best player available?
I think again it depends on, you know, what you need. I think there's a difference between taking the best player available versus need. I think quarterback is unique in that where are you with your quarterback situation, you know, when you're drafting, particularly in the first round.
Yep.
Remember we did the draft stream, you know, for this year's draft. We were very surprised that Atlanta took Michael Penix, not because Penix wasn't talented, but because they had just signed Kirk Cousins to a pretty hefty deal. But their reasoning and their rationale was, we will never be, if we do things the way we're supposed to do, we will never be this high up in the draft to get a quarterback like this again and be in a position where we can transition from Kirk, who is a veteran, who's, you know, not a young guy. You know, Kirk Cousins 36 years old. You know, he's not going to play forever. We're in a position where we can make the transition from Kirk to Penix, and we see the success that, like, a Jordan Love has had, that Aaron Rodgers had previously, that other guys have had when they got a chance to sit behind a veteran and learn and not be forced into play and rushed into play and still be competitive. So how many teams are going to take that approach if you have a veteran quarterback right now, right, who's, you know, playing really well, but you're saying, hey, we want to get ready for the future. But also, is the rest of your roster as such where you could do that?
Yes.
And you're not looking at the rest of the roster and say, we got some major weaknesses here. Because, again, back to the Falcons, the general thought was the Falcons needed to get another pass rusher. They were one of the worst teams in terms of getting the quarterback on the ground the last couple of years and in terms of their pass rush win rate. So it made sense for teams to say, or for people to mock a pass rusher to them. But organizationally, they went a different way. So I think it's to answer your question, SB, I do think taking the best talent available is okay. But I think it depends on the rest of the makeup of your roster. Yes. And also, and again, I know it's not like the NBA where, you know, you say you take the best talent available. In football, positions do matter. So it still matter. And so, yeah, sometimes it is, we have a need in this position. We got a guy we think can come in and fill this need of this position. Yep. We're taking that player.
Yeah, no, I ain't mad at you. No, you got to take the player. But speaking of teams in a crazy position, what about the Dolphins? Because people got the Dolphins at the top of the draft. Is it – obviously, we talked about last show. If y'all seen last episode, go back and watch it. Give us a watch. We went back and watched – we talked about on the last episode where the NFL said they won't do anything when it comes to the Tua situation. They're not going to step in. Okay, as a team, you see what's going on with your quarterback. Tua is very talented, but if he can't stay on the field, your best ability is to be available. Should the Dolphins look at, with this quarterback class being as talented as it is, by the way, should the Dolphins look into drafting a quarterback? Because they look like they would be at the top of the draft this year because they're not winning games without Tua.
I think it all depends on what the long-term situation with Tua is. If the plan is for Tua to come back, I don't know if they necessarily need to draft a quarterback. What I do know they need to do is make sure they have a very good backup. And a backup who can play. But also they need a head coach who figures out, hey, we don't have this starting quarterback. We got to figure out how to win with the backup. We're going to win with this. We're going to win games. Figure out how to win games with the backup. Teams that have won games with backups don't want to hear, oh, our quarterback's hurt.
We got to find a way to win. Next man up mentality.
Yeah, figure it out. Okay. What's this guy's skill set? How can we do that? How can we, you know, that's you're a coach. That's your job. Yes. So should they draft a quarterback? I think, SB, it all solely depends on what is Tua's situation long term. If Tua has to hang it up or decides to hang it up, then obviously, yeah, they should be drafting a quarterback. But if not, then, you know, they'll be in the quarterback market anyway, even if it's just getting a veteran backup who they know can come in and start games for them.
Yeah, for me, I think you have to. I think you have to. Like you said, either you got to get a very good backup or just get a young, talented guy come in. I think you have to do something. So if you got to go get Jameis Winston, go get Jameis Winston. If you got to go draft Shador or Jalen Milroe, I think Jalen Milroe, or especially Cam Ward, who's already down there in Florida, you can just go ahead and bring him right across the street. You got to do something. Just even because then now, even if you get Tua back and you draft a quarterback at the top of the draft, like you just said about what Atlanta said, the Dolphins is how they team set up. if they do everything right, they shouldn't be in a position that had to get another quarterback this talented. So you got to take the chance. So if you in a top 10 in Miami and Cam Ward is on that board, Shedeur Sanders is on that board, or even Jalen Milroe, which I think Milroe, especially how McDaniels like to run his offense and all them crazy different motions and scheme and options he like to run, Milroe will fit perfectly, and Cam Ward too. You can't go wrong, honestly. You got to take him. I'm sorry. If I'm Dolphins, I'm there. Number 8 pick, Cam Ward on the board, I'm taking him. I'm taking him. And then if Tua comes back and play, perfect. We don't have to force Cam Ward to play. We can sit, let him learn, and then move on from Tua at some point. Because I'm done with the Tua experiment. It's not my choice. He's a grown man. He'll make his own decision. But I think he should really seriously consider retiring. Retiring is your life to be more important than the game of football. But we will make that choice. We will see how that choice works out once we get to that point. But, Sean, another young quarterback I want to talk about. Yes, Jaden Daniels, when I say this, is in the MVP conversation right now, Sean. Jaden Daniels, man, the Commanders have found a diamond in the rough, dog. I don't know how they did it. They found them one, and they put together, which it was funny because I remember early in the season, preseason, where people was making fun of the Commanders because the new ownership staff, and they were saying, like, they don't know if they're going to move in the right direction. I'm sorry. Whoever in that office, they cooking. You got your quarterback. You got the quarterback that you want to get, even though I know there was debating between him and Caleb Williams, which please stop the comparison for Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. They both are very talented. They just in two different situations. But you got a coach, an offensive coordinator, who fits his play style to make your quarterback look way better right now, early. So what you think about Jaden Daniels? And am I overreacting by putting him in the MVP conversation?
To answer your last question, yes, you are. Who's the last rookie to win the MVP award in the NFL?
Jim Brown.
Mm-hmm. So we've seen some great rookies come in and have some great all-time rookie seasons. Eric Dickerson comes mm-hmm. to mind. His rookie year was amazing. His second year was better, but he had an amazing rookie year. Randy Moss had an amazing rookie year. But there's another guy who played quarterback in Washington who had just as an amazing rookie year as Jaden Daniels is having, mm-hmm. and it was only 12 years ago. And his name was Robert Griffin III.
Oh yeah, RG3. That first year, RG3 was nice, and it was diabolical to watch because the hits he was taking was crazy.
Right. So again, it's not that. Jaden Daniels, listen, what I think I like most is I saw him talk with Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk last mm-hmm. night, and he's not fazed by any of it. He is literally locked in on mm-hmm. trying to get better, trying to, you know, continue to grow, trying to figure out a way to help his team win football games. Mm-hmm. So all this MVP candidate stuff, he's not even in that, honestly. He is really totally focus, and that just tells me a lot about him, mm-hmm. you know, as a young man. But more importantly, I think, you know, the big thing right now is Washington has something they believe is very special. But mm-hmm. I was thinking 12 years ago with RG3. I thought for sure, I was like, man, this guy, watching him that rookie year, I mean, he was mm-hmm. dynamically outstanding. And he was really good at Baylor because he won the Heisman at Baylor. But he mm-hmm. took it to another level in the NFL.
RG3 was ridiculous his rookie yeah. season. Not gonna lie. That was yeah. RG3, the shout out, you know, and I hate to say it because you know Derrick Rose is my boy, but RG3 was like the Derrick Rose of the NFL where you like seen it. I don't even think we seen the best of what RG3 could have been. And I feel the same way with Derrick Rose, even though he won the MVP. I don't even think we even saw the best version of neither one of those players. Cause I think they could have took it to another level if injuries didn't stop both of those guys.
Right. And so, yeah, so I think, you know, again, you know, we're 5 games in to a rookie season. Enjoy it. Enjoy watching him play and continue to grow. But, mm-hmm. you know, is he special? He is absolutely special.
Phenomenal.
But what makes it special is the ability to maintain it over a long period of time. And that's what we have to see, not just Jaden Daniels, but mm-hmm. that organization. In Washington, You know, so, but is he an MVP candidate? No. Is he Offensive Rookie of the Year? I would say without question right now, he would be Offensive Rookie of the Year. Along with Malik, I think Malik Neighbors is in the conversation, but
Malik Neighbors,
but Jaden Daniels definitely is doing big things.
Now, we got to look at another quarterback situation, but he's a vet. Is it time to give up on the Deshaun Watson experiment? Obviously, he got a fully guaranteed contract, so he's gonna get paid regardless. But this is another team we talking about who might end up being at the top of the draft because they ain't winning no games right now. Is it time for the Browns to give up on Deshaun Watson? Is it over with?
I have to say this, and I'm saying this not as in defense of Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson has not played great.
Agreed.
But Deshaun Watson has not played badly either.
He ain't looking good.
Well, no. And again, because everybody's going back to that season in Houston where, I mean, he was, in my opinion, when he asked to be traded a few years ago, I did a video about what teams should trade for him, and I was breaking down their situations and looking at I said the only team that should not be calling the Houston Texans about Deshaun Watson is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
That's how good he was that year. It was Mahomes, and for me, then Watson. I know that people are going to argue about, oh, some other quarterbacks have really good. He was that dynamic that year where you were like, he could make this best quarterback in the NFL thing a real conversation. Now, obviously, there's a lot that goes into that. That season in particular, coming off that season and asking for a trade, I thought every team should call with the exception of Kansas City. The 30 teams should be calling the Houston Texans about Deshaun Watson. Obviously, we know
they're good.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we know there's been a lot of things that have happened off the field, him being healthy, the shoulder, schematically. But one thing I've noticed with that team is they got some issues on their offensive line that they have not figured out and fixed at all. And I'm not ready to give up on him until Nick Chubb comes back. Because I think when Chubb comes back, because they have not run the ball well at all this season, when Chubb comes back, presuming Chubb is close to Chubb, perhaps we get to see what Deshaun Watson can really be with that type of running game. So I'm not ready to give up on him just yet. I want to see once they get their offensive line healthy and once they get Chubb back, what can that offense do? But I think Kevin Stefanski and Ken Dorsey, the offensive coordinator, are on the clock. And they have a responsibility to those guys in that locker room to, if Deshaun Watson or anybody isn't living up to and isn't playing up to expectations, they have a responsibility to consider strongly making a change. Otherwise, you can lose the people in the locker room. And you know you have a veteran backup and a guy who's played a lot of football and execute the offense behind Deshaun Watson. It's going to get harder and harder to keep justifying sending Deshaun Watson out there when he's just playing okay at best. And I'm saying okay at best.
Yeah, and then for the type of money that you paid him, Deshaun Watson, and the type of talent that's around this team where they figured that the only missing piece is our quarterback position. Imagine it does look even better, even though we brought this up. People do like to use the excuse of Baker Mayfield. Shout out Big Baker. Baker has improved, but people don't bring up the fact that he was on a journey before he found his way to Tampa Bay. They just think he just went from the Browns to the Bucks and just took off. No, that's not the case. But, you know, people don't like to tell the full details of the story. But it does look bad on Terman right now that Baker is playing as good as he is and Deshaun Watson is not looking good. So that's just another thing to fuel to the fire. And then, obviously, with the off-the-field things that went on, he's definitely public enemy number one. So anything else he's doing bad, they're going to add on to that. But, Sean, with the talent on this team, like you said, you don't want to lose the locker room. I think you highly got to consider giving up on Deshaun Watson. It sucks. And I know Deshaun Watson had a lot of other things going on off the field, not necessarily like the bad stuff, like personal stuff, issues, you know what I'm saying, family things too. So it's probably hard to focus on football when you got personal things going on, you got the artificial issues, stuff going on, people slandering your name every day. So I know it's probably hard for him, but when you get paid like that and you were 100% guaranteed contract like that, which the NFL was still mad at the Browns for doing that, so they actually licking their chops and they're going to use, which I hate for Deshaun Watson, they're going to use him as an example of why you shouldn't give a player a full guaranteed contract, which is, we all know, is BS. But you know, the NFL is about that shield, baby. Nobody, no player is bigger than that shield and is going to be on Deshaun Watson's, is going to be the target for that. And it sucks.
I'll say this real quick, ask me about Deshaun Watson. Probably the thing that's most interesting was Bill O'Brien, who coached Deshaun Watson in Houston. The thing he did was change the offense where Deshaun Watson was basically running what he ran in college. So it was a lot more spread. He was in shotgun a lot more. So his completion percentage when they made the switch jump like 7 points all the way to the point where he was over 70% completion percentage as a passer. Since he's been in Cleveland, he's only about he's dropped like 10 points in completion percentage. That rarely happens to a quarterback like that. And again, I don't know if it's the shoulder, if it's the scheme, if it has just not worked well in Cleveland for him. And to your point, SB, I don't think they can continue going this way this season and not say, okay, maybe we got to figure out something. Sometimes it's just we got to find a spark. And again, is Jameis that spark? I don't know. But what I do know is I do want to see Chubb is back. Chubb will be back soon. And again, can they get the offensive line issues fixed? And let's see if that offense can get clicking and get rolling. That offense, I don't think they've scored 20 points this season.
I was just looking at it. I just closed out. Let me see. Let me see how many points the Browns have also scored all this season. Look at the Browns. And that's crazy with the talent they got on their team. No, Sean, they have not scored 20 points yet this season. Lost against the Cowboys, they had 17. The win against the Jaguars, they had 18. The loss to the Giants, which I thought was going to be a game where Deshaun Watson showed something, they only had 15 points. Raiders versus the Browns, they lost to the Raiders. They only scored 16 points. And obviously, they just lost to the Commanders. They only put up 13 points. That is ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's bad. With the talent on this roster, there's no way. It's I know Nick Chubb. With Nick Chubb missing, I get it. I'm not going to deny Nick Chubb is their deal. But you got – bro. You got to be able to put up more points than this. You got Judy, you got Njoku, you got Amari Cooper. You got to find a way to put up points.
Yeah.
Or y'all need to be the ones calling, but Davante Adams probably ain't going to want to go there, but y'all need to be the ones calling for Davante Adams to ask whatever, give the Kings ransom or something.
Right.
All right, Sean, we do got one game tonight. If you want to you want to pick the injury bug of the week from this game, or you just want to pick who you got your big injury bug. It sucks when it happens, but who you got?
Injury bug, obviously, Rashee Rice. Mm-hmm. You know, again, can the I think, you know, to see the Chiefs figure out how to do it by committee tonight. You know, and again, look for more. I think definitely some play action shots to Xavier Worthy down the field. But you know, Chiefs got to figure out how to do it by committee, because Rashee Rice had really truly emerged as their number one receiver. So, even passing, surpassing Travis Kelce. So, Rashee Rice definitely is the injury bug for me tonight.
I definitely have to agree with you on Rashee Rice, but I'm going to add to the list. I'm looking at the injury report right here. Edwards-Helaire has got an illness, so he might miss tonight's game. Mecole Hardman is questionable with a knee injury. And they say Kareem Hunt. I would say Kareem Hunt, too. That sucks. But he's fully participating in practice, so Kareem Hunt should be good. But any offensive person that's keep getting hurt with the Chiefs right now, that's bad. So the injury bug of the week goes to I have to agree with you on that, Rice. Also, we got to do the recap of the picks of the week. What's the pick recap? Who won? Who got the dub this week? Right now, your boy's on fire. What is what? I'm 3-1 right now.
Yeah. SB won the picks this week. SB won the picks this week. 4-1.
4-1. 4-1, baby. We coming back strong this season.
They're not mad at you. No, no, you made some good picks this year. But, hey, listen, it's a long season. We got 13 weeks to go, excuse me. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we're going to see what happens, man. SB1 this week. Appreciate you guys for watching. Appreciate you guys for listening. Make sure you guys like, share, subscribe, join the movement. This Real Takes Over Fake Debates with SB and Sean. Always coming to you every Monday and Friday with weekly episodes. See you guys on Friday. And we out. Peace.